Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very, very accomplished professional from my city, Gurgaon, in India, Mr. Atul Puri. Atul, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Atul is the founder of eGrowth, and we'll talk about eGrowth. He's a leverage guru. He's crafting the next unicorn empowering MSMEs. He's a public speaker and he's a social entrepreneur. So Atul, before we start talking about eGrowth and startups, tell me briefly your own journey.
My journey. So I'm a small town boy. Mm-hmm. I grew up in a place called Dalhousie, Himachal Pradesh in India.
Yeah.
I did my schooling there and was fortunate to did my college from Mumbai. Mm-hmm. So that's where I got exposed to the big city. Mm-hmm. My next halt was at Pune, mm-hmm. where I worked with CDEC. That was my first organization. Mm-hmm. Pune is a typical education city. So it's a kind of a slow city. So I got yet another flavor. Mm-hmm. And then later on, I moved to Gurgaon. That is where all over Gurgaon or Gurugram, as it is called now.
Wonderful.
That's where our family is.
Wonderful. So let's talk about eGrowth. Tell me a little bit about this venture and your motivation to start it.
So thank you for asking me for the motivation. So I spent around 20 years in the corporate space. I worked with the government, with the public sector, with the private sector, with the MNCs. And sometime in 2014, I got this experience that I get paid at the end of the month, mm-hmm. sitting in an air-conditioned office. Mm. Whereas when I look at the small businesses, they put all what they have into their business, mm. and yet are not able to make the ends meet. Mm-hmm. And this time, I thought, I wanted to be a part of their solution, mm. rather than being a part of their problem.
Right.
And this is where eGrowth got conceived.
Okay.
Unlike how it would be assumed, E is not electronic. Mm-hmm. E is exponential growth.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm of the belief that all businesses, mm-hmm. they can grow exponentially.
Yeah.
Provided they have 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll talk more about it.
Yeah. Wonderful. So when I was reading about you, Atul, you mentioned, and to quote, we are out to impact 4 million entrepreneurs to become Saksham entrepreneurs by 2025. Tell me about what you're doing and how are you going to achieve these ambitious targets? And for our international audience, tell us what is the meaning of Saksham entrepreneurs.
All right. So when I'm saying 4 million, I went through the data of the Government of India, Ministry of MSME, mm-hmm. Which says that there are 630 plus million MSMEs, mm-hmm. micro, small and medium enterprises in India. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So and if we extrapolate that to the world, that would make around 6 billion. Mm-hmm. If we take 10 times the factors. Mm. So I was working backwards. Mm. And then we arrived at 4 million kind of number. Mm. That this is a number which would be worth my life.
Mm. Wonderful.
And now coming to Saksham.
Yeah.
So Saksham, in English, it would mean enabled, able, I would say, mm. not enabled.
Okay.
So when we're talking about able entrepreneurs, I'm not taking away. I let me not start with the word not. Mm. So a person who puts his neck on the block, mm. and he starts building a business, he is able. Mm-hmm. All right. Being able, he needs some more support structures, mm. such that he can move things faster, things better, things quicker. Mm-hmm. That is what we're talking about. So essentially, when we're talking about eGrowth is an enabler for small businesses.
Mm. Okay. And how are you planning to achieve this? You know, you're talking of exponential growth for 4 million MSMEs. What are the steps that you take?
So I'll go back into the history, right?
Okay.
So 2014, when I thought that I want to be a part of the solution of the small businesses, that was a time I was working with a Fortune 50 company. And obviously, I did not have the courage to drop that in the first go.
Correct.
So what I did was every day or a couple of times in a week, I would sit with friends and understand what are their challenges in business. Corporate operates in a different fashion. There are silos, you've got departments, you've got different structures, you've got vendors, you've got suppliers, so much. Whereas in case of a small business, the very often the entrepreneur wears 1,000 hats. And even if he is a pass out or a graduate from an Ivy League college or institution, he would still not be able to do everything. He may know everything, he may not be able to do it. So this is something what I realized. And what I would do is every evening I would go and spend some time. And this is how we started building a community. 2017 is when we formally had a company called EBN Learning Private Limited. By that time, we had a community of more than 2,000 entrepreneurs.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. And these were entrepreneurs whom I knew personally. I knew the kind of business they are in, the kind of challenges they're facing, the kind of businesses they interact with. All right. Next, what I did was between 2017 and 19, I drove around 80,000 kilometers across the country.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. From a place called Batala in north to a place called Kolhapur in Maharashtra. So this was north-south. From Jamnagar in west of India to Gorakhpur and Kolkata in east of India.
Okay.
All right. And all what I did was I spent a lot of time with the entrepreneurs. I spent a lot of time with the industry associations, chambers to get to know what it is to do business in that particular area.
Okay.
All right. So this is where the foundation was laid. So as of now, we have a community of around 50,000 entrepreneurs.
Okay.
We are far away from the 4 million mark. But from here, I would assume that to take it further would be much faster. And I'm very sure, thanks to you for considering to interview me. This will also help spread the word.
Wonderful. Well, I'm sure in your own words, from 50,000 to 4 million, you will see exponential growth. So e-growth will apply to e-growth as well.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Atul, you also talk about cracking the DNA for exponential growth in business. Help me understand how you define this DNA and give me an example.
So between 2015 and 16, I was working with a startup. Okay. And the intention of working with a startup was to really get to know how to build a business myself. And one of the founders, he used to use a Japanese term called go to gemba. Okay. Which essentially means in, if we use Hindi, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
Mauka hai vardaat. All right. But it's actually Urdu. And if we talk in English, it is to be at the site of action.
Correct.
All right. Now, so to being at the place where the action is happening, there is a lot to be learned and picked from there. All right. Okay. So this is where we build it from.
Okay. Okay. Moving on, let's talk about startups. I mean, you have crisscrossed the length and breadth of India. You have 50,000 entrepreneurs who you have spoken to. You've spoken to industry associations. And I'm sure you're probably one person who understands the startup ecosystem very, very well. Let me start by asking you, should a startup have a solo founder or should it have co-founders?
So I have been a solo founder myself for a very long time. And I'm of the opinion that a startup should definitely have co-founders. Okay. And there are multiple reasons for this. No human being is complete in himself or herself. So I don't want to be, I want to be gender neutral here. Okay. So there are people who are wired differently. There are some people who are more strategic in their thinking. There are some people who are able to think 20,000 feet high. There are others who are able to work at the grassroots level, who are able to work on the brass tacks. All right. And these are the two kind of people who would complement each other. There are others who are technically very sound. There are others who are people's people, okay, who gel very well with human beings. So when we have these kind of people, they come together, only then it succeeds.
Okay.
If we look at any of the largest corporations or the startups, see, startup is a new term. But startups essentially are enterprises.
Well said. Yep.
Okay. Now they are enterprises, and we see any of the successful enterprises, they have become what they've become because the first person, he sold that idea to the second person. And then the party started.
Okay.
I hope I've answered your question.
Oh, great response. Great response. And again, based on all the work that you have done, what are the most important qualities a startup entrepreneur should have?
So I would say I'm still not mature enough to answer this question.
Okay. We'll drop this question then.
Having said that, I'm not passing it.
Okay. Okay.
Having said that, startups are operating in different times.
Correct.
Okay. Where technology is playing a major role. So as a startup founder or as a startup, we must take technology as an ally. Even if we don't know, we must go out of the way to figure out how and where we can use technology. I think this is something which we cannot do without. Second, which is a kind of 180 degrees around, is that even if we use technology, we still sell to only one set of, we still sell to people, human beings. So we must not forget that we are human organization.
Okay.
So a combination of human and technology, that is, I think, which startups would, should always keep in mind.
Very interesting. And what is the kind of support e-growth you and your team give to startups?
So I would say to each one his own. Okay. There are some organizations who are dealing with getting more leads, getting reaching out to more customers, to more prospects. We help them with that. There are others who've got a pipeline already there, but they don't know how to deal with it. So we can help them put the structures and systems in place. There are others who've got structures in place, who've got a pipeline in place, but they don't have systems in place. They are like neck deep into it. They don't know how to put it on autopilot. We can help them in putting in autopilot. There are others who are not able to get money. All right. We help them with money. That is not our strongest piece.
Okay.
Though. All right. So what we're doing is we are creating an ecosystem of entrepreneurs.
Okay.
Okay. Here's something what I would like to share is that if we were, if we look at the larger enterprises in the globe, okay, the generals, the General Electrics and General Motors and General Foods and all of them, or in the Indian Parallels, the Tata, Birla, Ambani, Adani, whenever they're faced with a challenge, they would hire a KPMG, PwC or a McKinsey to resolve their challenge. When we look at a smaller business, even if it is a startup, they would not have the flexibility to hire them. So this is where In the older times, you would take support from the extended family. Today, those extended families are not there. So that is where you would seek support from peers.
Interesting.
So we are creating that environment where you can freely go and seek support from peers.
Interesting. And again, you must have spoken to hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs. And we also know this statistic that only 1 out of 10 really makes it big. What, based on your experience, are the top 3 reasons startups fail?
Top 3 reasons why startups fail is, first is it's more of a mindset issue, I would say. Mm-hmm. And this is not a doctor conversation. I did not think about it before now.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah.
It is that the startup thinks that they are from a different planet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's one piece.
Mm-hmm.
Second piece is the team just scratches the surface. They refuse to go to the bottom. They refuse to go to the next level. They don't work on the details.
Mm-hmm.
And the third piece is they might know things. They're not able to put them together because there are huge number of moving parts in any organization, whether it is a startup or any other organization.
Yeah.
As a founder, as somebody who's building an organization, one, you need to have that top view that what all needs to be done, who can do it, how can it be done. So all the 5 wives and 1 husband.
Okay.
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 Who, when, where, why, and how. Right? So all those things he needs to know.
Very interesting. The other million-dollar question, Atul, is when should a startup raise money? The question is often, should I bootstrap as long as possible? Or should I raise money whenever it is available? What are your thoughts?
So are you going to give me $1 billion for this? All right.
You can get from all your customers.
Yeah, so I am of the opinion that, this is another piece. Okay, now, very often the startups, they start with an intention that there is somebody out there who's going to give money to me, which I don't think should be the purpose of raising a startup.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Startup should raise money when all other options are exhausted.
Okay.
When you're bootstrapped, you're putting all your energies together. You're thinking at your best.
Mm-hmm.
You're getting all the resources together and you are making a lean, mean machine.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the moment you have excess resources, you become reckless.
Mm.
Very often we've seen that organizations which have raised money have collapsed even after raising money.
Right.
So I'm personally of the opinion that you raise money at a stage when you're starting to getting suffocated.
Okay. So Atul, have time for 2 more questions. My next question for startups is that every startup wants to go pan-India. Every startup wants to say that we are, global. When in fact, if you are an MSME, I often say sitting in the national capital region, you have 25 million people as your potential market. My question to you is, when should a startup start to scale up?
So I'll give you, cooking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Indian cooking is really awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'll give you an example from there. So generally what would happen in an Indian cooking, you start with the spices.
Mm-hmm.
You kind of roast them, fry them. Once the fragrance is there, that is when you put the main piece in, whether that is the dal or the rice or the meat, whatsoever. I would think that is how a startup should also operate. Once you've got the curry in place, not the curry, once you've got the base in place, that is when you start making the curry out of it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. Okay.
I hope I've answered the question.
No, you have. You have. I think that's a great example you've given me. And my last question to you, Atul, and this is for the many, many people who will listen to our conversation. What would you say are three lessons based on your vast experience that you would like our viewers and listeners to take away from our conversation?
So my intention of getting out of a job and into a business was that I wanted to create a legacy. I wanted to give back.
Yeah.
Okay. There is also a book called Dying Empty, and many people have written about it.
Mm-hmm.
Very often a person starts thinking about it when he is in the last rung, he or she, I'm sorry, I end up saying mm-hmm. So when he is in the last stage of his life,
mm-hmm.
that is a time when he does not have enough energy.
Mm.
Or there is still a lot which he can probably give and which is not able to give.
Mm.
So this should be a reason. So this is my reason for getting into it.
Okay.
So whatever I have learned, how about distributing it?
Mm.
Okay. The more you distribute, the more you share, the more it grows.
Mm.
And that I think is the biggest reason why you should get into it. That would give you a lot of happiness. That will give you a lot of peace.
Mm. Mm, wonderful. Atul, on that note, your lesson of, give back, create a legacy. Thank you for talking to me about entrepreneurship, about your vision to support 4 million entrepreneurs through e-growth. Thank you also for giving me the three reasons why entrepreneurs or startups fail, which are, we need to have the right mindset. Founders are not from a different planet. Miss the details, which is very critical. Therefore, make sure that we are able to look very carefully at the finer fine print. And the third, which is the million-dollar question, always implementation, implementation, and implementation. Thank you so much for speaking to me, and good luck to you.
So thank you, Ashutosh, for giving me this opportunity and helping me spread this word around. And I must say, the brand called You is doing a great job. Keep doing it. I'll be glad to help you wherever, howsoever possible.
Thank you so much. Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.